Well, good morning again. Oh, Lord, we just pray for your word to come forth this morning. We pray, Lord, that your word will speak to our hearts and change our lives, Lord. There's power in your word. May your words be spoken today. And may we receive them. Open up heaven for us this morning, Lord. Pour out your spirit. Pour out your presence. Touch our lives, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I'm going to start off in the book of Acts. We're going to be in Luke 10, 17, 20. Actually, I have a lot of scripture for you this morning, which is good. Where am I? Acts 19, 13 through 17. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth." And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye?" And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them. So they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. I heard something some time ago that I thought was pretty profound. I was profounded by it. That's not a word, is it? It is now. The eggshell is always the right size for the egg. What does the eggshell represent? For the egg, it represents security, protection. It's a container. Actually, it's probably one of the most perfect containers there is. Highly breakable, though. And as a container, it contains. It keeps the contents together. So what would an egg be without its shell? Do we have a shell? Something that contains us? God's protection? What is the biggest component of God's protection? What is the greatest protection aid that he has given us? Luke 10:19. "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." We need to keep in mind the verse that follows that, actually, though, don't we? Because the verse that follows it says, don't get puffed up about that. Rejoice, because your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But yet, we need to keep that in mind. It's a believer's authority. We've been given authority by God over the powers of evil. First Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." You notice it says whom he may devour. That's what he does. In the book of Job, God asked Satan where he'd been. He said, "I've been on earth walking. walking back and forth upon the earth. Why is he walking back and forth? Seeking whom he may devour. Because he doesn't like us. As God's creation, he doesn't like us. He hates us. And he wants to destroy us in every way that he can. He will pit us against one another. He'll pit us against God. He'll pit God against us. The word Satan is not really a name. It's a characteristic. It means accuser or adversary. He even pits us against ourselves. But we've been given authority. That should be obvious to us, right? Is the church operating in the authority that God gave them? What would happen if it was? Are we, as believers, operating in the authority that God gave us? We're listening to that voice that says, no, you don't have authority. You got to listen to me. No, we don't. That's where Eve got in trouble, listening to the enemy. You may have noticed, but the world is kind of falling apart. The wheels are coming off. And yet everything in the Bible is being fulfilled because the Bible says that would happen. Give you an example. What happened to morality? It's been replaced by tolerance. The people that preach tolerance, are they really that agreeable? They don't tolerate us too much, do they? Are they that agreeable? Is that why they so freely give in to these abominations? Because that's what they are. I think they just don't have it within them to fight back. They don't have the means to. So they surrender. It's not really a matter of tolerance. It's a matter of spiritual weaknesses. But we're different, aren't we? Or we're supposed to be. Luke 10:19, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. When were we given this power? Genesis chapter 1, 26 through 28, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Did we lose it? Adam and Eve handed it over to the enemy, to the devil, in the Garden of Eden. But did that change whether we had a right to it or not? Psalm 91:13, thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon you shall trample underfoot. That's the power of the enemy. And the God of peace shall crush Satan shortly under your feet, it says in Romans. What is power? What is authority? Actually, there's two types of authority. That which is assumed that we take upon ourselves, and that which is granted to us. Jesus said, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. Acts 19:13-17, I already read. It talked about some people that were trying to cast out demons in the name of the Lord that Paul preached. And it doesn't work, does it? Just because you hear something in a sermon, just because you've been taught something, that doesn't mean that you have the authority to do it. The authority comes from God. It comes from having a relationship with God. Matthew 8:9, for I am the centurion, talking to Jesus. He was asking healing for his servant. He said, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. To my servant, do this, and he doeth that. He's under authority, but yet he has authority. I think that teaches us that one of the first things we have to do if we're going to be able to tap into the authority that God's given us is we have to be under his submission. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Some people like to quote the second part of that, and they forget the first. We have to be under authority to have authority. And we have to realize who we are. Psalm 8:3-9. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. O Lord our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. His name. His name is associated with man's God-given authority. He's given us the right to use his name. The right to use his name is the right to his complete authority. It's not just a word that comes out of your mouth when you hit your thumb with a hammer. It's part of a relationship. What happens when a man and a woman get married? The woman takes the husband's name. He's given us his name in the same way. Because the church is going to be the bride. We're betrothed to him. So, and actually, there's two parts to a marriage ceremony. We've already fulfilled, or the first part of that has already been fulfilled. The betrothal. We're just waiting for him to come get us, aren't we? So we have the right to use his name. Psalm 9:10, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. Romans 10:13, everyone who calls on his name will be saved. Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. John 14:13, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. Of course, it does have to be according to his will, doesn't it? Our will has to line up with his. It's not the other way around. Whatever you ask in my Father in my name, he will give you. In the Greek, it literally means whatever you shall demand as your rights and privileges. But once again, that's according to his will. There's a fine line there, isn't there? And Haggai 2:23. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, I will take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and I will make thee as a signet. For I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. What is a signet? And what does it represent? It's a ring that somebody would give to a servant, and because they have that ring, they have the authority of their master. It's the same as if their master was there. There's a cartilage in the body that's shaped like a signet ring. The cricoid cartilage, it's in the throat. It's in the larynx. How did it get there? We're created with it, of course. So that which is shaped like a signet ring and that possesses his authority is the voice box. Isn't that amazing? Ephesians 1:18 through 21, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him on his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Above all principality, all power, all might, all dominion, every name that is named, we have authority over. The power of God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that's the same power that works in us to the same degree. Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. His power. It's not us on our authority that casts out demons. It's in the name of Jesus Christ. Is the spiritual realm affecting you? Or are you affecting the spiritual realm? Acts 16:16 through 18, and it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. He took authority over that which he had authority over because of the name of Jesus Christ. One area that we believers aren't using our authority over the enemy is, it's in the lives of our lost loved ones. They're blinded by the enemy. We need to pray in the name of Jesus against that spirit of blindness. Boy, we're going to get out of here way early today, aren't we? What's that? Keep going? Well, I've got a little bit more. Romans 8:31 and also 8:37. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Doesn't just say we're conquerors. It says we're more than conquerors. It goes beyond being a conqueror. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. the shape the world's in today, it doesn't really seem like we're having a whole lot of victory, do we? Luke 10:19, behold, I give unto you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. This reminds me of Paul in the book of Acts. God has sent him, told him that he was going to go to Rome. There was a shipwreck, and he ended up on an island, Malta, I think it was. And he went to gather some firewood, and a viper leaped out and sunk its teeth into Paul's hand. And Paul just shook it off in the fire. Why? Because he had authority over it. Does that mean that every rattlesnake that we have, we can play around with rattlesnakes? I don't think so. I think that's tempting God, actually. But if we're on a mission and God has sent us someplace, then the enemy can't stop us. Or the enemy doesn't have the authority to stop us. We have God's authority. We have God's power. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And that's a lot of power, isn't it? Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you, Lord, for your gift of salvation. We thank you, Lord, for the authority that you've given us. Lord, I pray that you'd grant us boldness to exercise that authority when we have to. Lord, it'd be nice if everyone in this room, every time they walked someplace where the enemy was, the enemy would start trembling. Not because of them, but because of your power and your authority that's in them. Lord, as the world gets darker and darker, we need you more and more. Help us, Lord, to stand strong. We don't know what's coming down the line towards us, Lord. We don't know what the future holds. But like the song says, we know who holds the future. Help us to stay strong, Lord. Is there anybody here that needs prayer this morning? If you do, why don't you come forward?